Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Halfway through our show tonight, or as some of you have pointed out, you're already waking up for your Thursday morning. It's upside down. Whatever it is, whatever time of the day or night or your day or night, we know that there's all schedules and routines that are part of our listening audience. And I know for me, I still feel like it's the night until we get to the end of the show, and then it becomes morning. So when I walk in the building and it's 12:01 Eastern time, and the security guard says to me, "Good morning." My reaction is, hi. It's just not morning to me. Sometimes Jay and I are talking about the same day, but we think we're talking about different days because he's calling it today and I'm calling it tomorrow. So yeah, it can get confusing at times. But whatever time of the day or part of your routine you're in at this particular moment, we're glad that you choose to take us along with you. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Please find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Really excited to welcome our next guest because this book represents a watershed moment for baseball that took place 20 years ago this week. And I'm not sure we still understand the full ramifications of Ken Caminiti's confession to Sports Illustrated. But now there's a book that is about his life, not just the baseball portion of his life, but the demons that he battled and the MVP career that ultimately was intertwined with PEDs. It's called Playing Through the Pain, Ken Caminiti and the Steroids Confession That Changed Baseball Forever. And it's now out and available on Amazon. So coinciding with the 20-year anniversary of that Sports Illustrated article. Dan Good is a longtime journalist and author, and this book just out, so he's doing umpteen countless interviews to promote it. We're glad he's made some time for us. Dan, it looks like you started working on this book a decade ago. So now that it's out, how do you feel? What has this process been like for you?
It's been such a surreal experience. When I started researching this in 2012, I was working overnights and I had a lot of free time during the day. And I just thought it would be interesting to start chipping away and researching his life. And I just thought there was so much here. And I started interviewing people in 2013. And it's, you think back to these little moments and all the interviews and the research and the trips and everything that happened. And I'm just so proud. I was actually listening to the audiobook on Tuesday when the book came out, and It was so surreal to actually listen to somebody else saying my words. It was, you know, really, really strange. But I'm just so proud to bring this story forward and, you know, breathe new life into Ken Caminiti's story.
After hundreds of interviews, and I can imagine notes and recordings and everything else that you compiled to put the book together, do you even remember who you spoke to first?
I spoke to John Covington. He was Ken's motorcycle developer. He's based in Arizona. I really started with people on the fringes because I was worried if I went too close and someone's like, no, I don't want to talk to you, it would just kind of shut things down and, you know, ruin my momentum. So I started with people. I just said, this motorcycle guy seems like he has interesting stories. Let me talk to him. And just kind of went from there.
What type of resistance, if any, did you encounter in Major League Baseball?
It's interesting because there were people who were open to talking to me. There were other people who definitely did not want to talk to me. Baseball itself, the teams were supportive to a point, you know, and then I think when I started poking and asking for more people and asking for additional information and details, I think that's, you know, I hit walls at certain points if I was, you know, pushing too far, because I think people at the time, you were just kind of humoring me in a way, but like, you know, yeah, okay. And then you start to see the snowball pick up and you're like, okay, this is going to be a big deal. And, you know, you hit resistance here and there. And I understood it to a point. There was definitely people close to Ken, and some of his, you know, his relatives weren't really interested in participating. And people who played with him were hit or miss. Some of them didn't want to talk. And I completely understand why. It's a difficult story and, you know, a difficult subject to go back to.
I was wondering whether or not there are still raw emotions there, or if it's still a sore subject, just because it's been 20 years, but it does feel like the steroids era that got exposed and the reports that came out and what we now know about some of the athletes who were using performance-enhancing drugs, it does still feel like there's a lot that's mysterious about it, Dan, if that makes sense. Like, we don't really still have the full story.
No, we don't. It's really elusive, and you know, players have been very guarded about that. They're protective of the other players. They don't want to look at what happened with Ken when he started spilling the beans and talking about this stuff. He was vilified. You know, it's one of those things where it's very guarded. It's very difficult. And it's difficult to parse out, you know, what each person's responsibility is, you know, and you see, you know, players like Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens kept out of the Hall of Fame, but then Bud Selig, the commissioner at the time, waltzes right in, you know, through a side door. And it's like, okay, well, who's responsible for this? You know, it's not all the players' fault. Like, there were people around the game who looked the other way on this too. And everybody benefited, you know, in ways that was helpful to them. And then, you know, as soon as the secret was out, then, you know, everybody kind of turned. But it's really tough to make sense and to capture exactly what happened, because it's so complicated.
Dan Good is the author of a brand new book out, Playing Through the Pain, Ken Caminiti and the Steroids Confession That Changed Baseball Forever. And because it's a part of my fandom, but also my career, I'm so drawn to this, and I've already started reading it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dan, I have to tell you, I can remember exactly where I was. I can remember what I was doing when I opened up that article in Sports Illustrated 20 years ago this week. So when I say it was early in my career and it's something that I remember so distinctly, I can imagine that you do as well. Why did you want to write his story, or why did you want to write about this moment?
This was the book I wanted to read. I wanted to read this book, you know, after he came forward and talked about steroids. And then after he passed away so tragically 2 years later, I just felt like there was so much there. There was so much story that needed to be told, and no one was telling that story. You know, no one was coming forward with it. And I just felt like, as a fan, as an up-and-coming journalist, I just felt like this needed to get out there. And if no one was going to, you know, take this story and go with it, I was going to. No, you're exactly right. I remember that Sports Illustrated issue, too, and it was just huge. It was massive. It was such a big moment for baseball, for journalism. It was a huge thing.
Because he was an MVP, he wasn't just some fringe player. This was an MVP who was so well-liked. It couldn't have come from another voice that would have resonated more resoundingly around Major League Baseball.
No. You know, when you look at Jose Canseco coming out a couple weeks earlier than Ken and saying, oh, 85% of players are using steroids, and I'm going to write a book about it. And you hear that 85% figure, and you're like, there's no way. You know, and Jose himself is not admitting at that point to using steroids. He obviously did in his book. But Ken comes out a couple weeks later and says, yes, I use this stuff. It helped me win the MVP award, and I don't feel regret for using it. And that was massive, because here is this guy who was so widely respected in the game. He was the ultimate competitor. He was a gritty player. He was beloved by his teammates and his opponents alike. Everybody loved playing with or against him. And here he is coming forward and saying, I achieved my greatest successes in life through steroids, and just unflinchingly admitting it. It was a huge moment for the game, and it was the moment that the game couldn't avoid this issue anymore. You know, Washington starts looking into it. The players' union begrudgingly agrees to allow some testing for 2003, and then that advances in the years ahead. But it really forced everybody to reconcile with what the truth was, and that steroids were, you know, completely throughout the game, and that you couldn't hide it anymore.
It's interesting to read about how popular he was with his teammates, how well-liked he was, even when he was struggling, and how many opportunities he got, despite the injuries, despite the rehab, despite some of his off-the-field struggles. Why do you think teams kept giving him chances, again, even after things went so horribly wrong?
I think that teams saw the competitor in him, that competitive nature. You know, you think of him in Mexico getting the IV fluids, scarfing down his Snickers and going and hitting two home runs. You think of him playing through all these injuries, through all these obstacles, through these issues, these ups and downs. And you really do think that he can rise above it again. Like, this was the reputation that he had around the league, that you give him a chance and he's going to play. He's going to, you know, run through a wall for you and do the best he can do. And, you know, I think that's why he kept getting chances. He had so much respect around the league that even when he was falling apart, teams wanted to take a chance on him because you never knew. He could dial it up at any point.
Dan Good has just released Playing Through the Pain, Ken Caminiti and the Steroids Confession That Changed Baseball Forever. There are times I just couldn't put it down. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Based on your research and all the people you talk to, the rehab and the second, third, and fourth chances, why didn't that stick?
His issues and his traumas went so deep and went so far back that I feel like relapses were going to happen. They were bound to happen. You know, he would have these great stretches. He would be doing all the right things. And then one little thing would happen and he would slip up and it would just be that decline again. You know, it was really tough, you know, with the career he had, made it especially difficult because he's constantly traveling. You know, rosters are turning over all the time. So he would have these great people around him and this accountability structure around him. And then the player would be gone and then things would kind of fall apart. You know, it just this up and down, and these issues for him went way, way back and they were so deep. And he just tried to fight, but he really filled the void in his life with drugs and alcohol. And that wasn't obviously the right way to do it.
When you had the opportunity to go on the record with his steroid supplier, what was that like for you? Because that's a story that had never been told before and is part of your book.
No, it was a really interesting thing for me. So as I was, you know, going down this road, researching, connecting with people, I connected with his friend, Dave Moretti, who, you know, was living in California. And I asked him for an interview, and he said, if you come to California, I'll tell you everything. And I said, all right, you know, let's schedule some time. I flew out there not knowing what to expect. I just thought, okay, this is some friend of Ken's. So be it. We'll see what happens. I'll meet some other people. And we sit down. We weren't even on the record. I didn't bring out my tape recorder at that point. We were just talking. And he starts talking to me about supplying Ken and other players with steroids. And I was like, oh, like, this is where this is going. Like,
wow.
I wasn't expecting it to go there. And it went there, and it was really meaningful. And you know, he and I have, you know, established a really strong bond over the course of years. I mean, I interviewed him for the first time, I think, in 2015. You know, and we've been in pretty constant contact since then, and I'm really proud of that. But it was the thing that made it tough was he's telling me all these things, and I'm like, okay, how do I confirm this?
How do I,
you know, what are the records? You know, what can you show me to prove this? And I really had to triangulate a lot of things that he told me. For example, one of the packages he had sent to, you know, he started with Ken and then he started working with other players as well and dozens of other players. One of those players was Richie Lewis. He was a pitcher for the Marlins and a bunch of other teams. He passed away tragically last year, but I talked to Richie in 2019. And Richie was telling me the story about how Dave had sent him a package of steroids to the AAA team he was playing for. And the package was intercepted by the front office staff. And he was really frustrated about that. So after he told me the story, I cold called the, you know, GM of the AAA team that Richie was playing for and asked him, you know, straight up, hey, did this happen? He said, yeah, you know, he said that his vitamin package got intercepted and he couldn't find it. So it's one of those things, you know, it's putting these pieces together has really taken time, but I'm proud to be able to make sense of that because, you know, Ken comes forward in 2002, says all these things, you know, I drove to Mexico myself. I set up this program. I didn't know what I was doing. All these things. He put all the responsibility on his own shoulders. And as it turns out, you know, he was vouching for other people. He was telling half-truths, you know, and it was really meaningful to be able to make sense of what actually happened and how he was able to achieve his success with the help of steroids. And really, like, when it became too much and he started using the wrong things or going down a bad road with the PEDs.
Did this friend of his supplier, have any remorse now knowing how Ken's life tragically ended?
Oh, 100%. And I think that was, you know, really one of the reasons he chose to come forward and talk about it, because he didn't need to. I mean, he could have easily just said nothing and moved on. You know, and I really appreciate his and really other people's, but his specifically willingness to talk about this, because it's not an easy thing. But he, you know, has carried a lot of, you know, guilt and sadness around how Ken's life turned out. And, you know, they were really close growing up. Like, they were really close, and that loss rocked him hard. To be honest, so many of the people I talked to, teammates, friends, coaches, they all carried that. You know, they all carried that burden of, I wish I had done something else. I wish I had done more. I wish I would have said something. And that was so heavy, you know, talking to people about that, because they all carried some level of remorse that they couldn't help Ken in some way.
He's a longtime journalist and author, writer Dan Good, who has the brand new book about Ken Caminiti and his confession in Sports Illustrated about using steroids that left baseball in a completely different place and scrambling for a long time. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One of the thoughts that I've had as I've read through parts of your book, Dan, is how would it be different today? And I don't necessarily mean the PED usage, but I mean a player like this who's struggling. We know that mental health is so much more in the public consciousness now, but certainly something that leagues pay more attention to. We've seen athletes who've struggled with their own drug and alcohol addictions get so much support from their clubs and even be reinstated time after time after time. Do you think it would have been any different in 2022?
Yeah, I think it would have. And I look at Josh Hamilton as a really strong parallel.
Yes.
You know, the baseball teams that Josh Hamilton played for went out of their way. They had accountability structures built in. They had people who were hanging out with him all the time, trying to help him, keep him on track. And you've seen that here and there with other teams as well. I think with Ken, the people, the players, the coaches, the managers, the front office staff around him did what they could. But at the time, the Players Association was so strong, and they couldn't do anything. I think that the teams felt restricted by what they could do to help. You know, so Art Howe pulls Ken aside in 1993 and says, "Hey, I'm worried about you. You know, what if you went on the DL for a couple weeks, and we said you had a hamstring pull, and you go to rehab and get help?" And, you know, Ken isn't bound to say yes to that. And he just ends up playing and he stays in the lineup, you know. And I think it goes back to this competitiveness in Ken, that he was going to play through anything, even through his addictions. And he was going to be on the field and he was going to perform no matter what. And I think the teams felt hamstrung, that they couldn't do more to help. You know, the Astros had the employee assistance program that did aid him in some ways in 99-2000 when he was with the team the second time, but it wasn't enough, and ultimately he was really struggling at that point. You know, it's a shame, because I really do think if he played today, things would have been different. There would have been more structure around that. There would have been more attentiveness to his struggles and making sure that he got the help that he needed, that it wasn't just, you know, let's focus on playing, but let's focus on the person. Let's focus on his emotional health.
So before I let you go, then, what's been the reaction so far? I know it's only been out a couple days, but what's it been like to this point?
The reaction so far has been positive. People have really enjoyed the care and the attention that I put into the book. I think the effort and the time stands out. You know, you can see the little details. You can see the work. You know, in the pages. I've gotten really good feedback. You know, it's a tough read, and that's what's tough about it. You know, it's a haunting. I mean, I was haunted from writing it, and I know that people are going to be haunted from reading it.
Yes.
And it's you know, I recognize that this is not a book for everybody, and that you know, you need to approach it with the right mindset. I had somebody I spoke to who said, you know, this isn't a book to read before you go to bed at night. And I, you know, I understand that. You know, it's I'm so proud to bring a story forward that hopefully can help people, hopefully can help give people a different sense of compassion, sympathy, or care toward the people around them, especially those who are struggling. You know, I'm proud to bring this difficult story forward and hope it can help somebody in some way.
Mm. Haunted is definitely a word that came to mind. Tortured is another one. And as you say, if you have any compassion, if you have a beating heart, really, you can't help but feel something for Ken Caminiti, even if there are people out there who believe he brought it on himself, because it's tragic. It's tragic the way that his life ended and that he couldn't get out of this cycle, despite the fact that so many people cared about him. And so I would appreciate, I would agree with that, Dan, excuse me, that it's not as though you trashed him in the book. It actually feels like you wrote it with care and with compassion for him.
I appreciate that. I do have a lot of compassion for him, and I appreciate him even today, even after 10 years of, you know, research and interviewing 400 people and, you know, walking around with this story in my mind for the past decade. I still have so much appreciation and respect for him, and I still hold him in high regard. And, you know, I think I always will. Like, I really do appreciate the person he was. Obviously, he had struggles, and many of them were brought on by his own actions, but I really do appreciate the genuine person he was, the authentic person he was, and the impact he had for so many people.
Dan Good has a brand new book out, and it comes with the 20th anniversary of that Sports Illustrated cover story where Ken Caminiti admitted to using performance-enhancing drugs and said they are rampant in Major League Baseball. The game has never been the same. It's called Ken Caminiti and the Steroids Confession That Changed Baseball Forever. A longtime author and journalist, and he's got the book that you need to read, baseball fans. Dan, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's been great to connect with you.
It's been great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Dan's book can be found on Amazon, of course. And if you're looking for the link or looking for a way to connect with him, I did track down his Twitter as well, at DGood73. So Dan Good, at DGood73, author of this Ken Caminiti biography. And according to Publishers Weekly, a must read for baseball fans. Yeah, I haven't even got through the whole thing yet, but that sticks with me. What I said to Dan there at the end, it's haunting. It's one of those books where you'll get emotional if you have a heart and you realize the torture that he was in for most of his life. But regardless of all of that, if you know nothing else, know that it was 20 years ago this week that Ken Caminiti took the lid off of the steroids era in Major League Baseball and uncovered it and unraveled it and the dominoes that dropped after that. Such a great conversation with Dan, and 10 years in the making for this book. So you can tell he did his homework and then some. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's good to have you with us as we morph into a Thursday morning. A little QB news coming up next, because it's the never ending
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Cycle of voluntary OTAs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
He's got a man wide open. John Brown, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson in the shotgun. Lob to the five. It is caught. Touchdown, Willie Snead.
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep. Man wide open. It's Lockett. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Tannehill rolling, throwing. Touchdown, Titans!
Burrow back to pass. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
Intended for Tyler
Boyd. Touchdown.
Touchdown! Yeah.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
You know it's never a bad time to talk about quarterbacks in the NFL, and four of them, maybe the four most high-profile quarterbacks in the league, were busy playing golf in Vegas a few hours ago, so... Oh, that's it. They're not at OTAs. However, Deshaun Watson, the Cleveland Browns, they're definitely engaged in another round of OTAs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin Stefanski, Myles Garrett being asked about Deshaun Watson. Coach, did you anticipate a 23rd civil lawsuit being filed?
I would tell you with all that, respectfully, I'm going to let the legal proceedings play out. And I'm respectful of that process. The work we did prior to this, we've covered that, but I'll just continue to let the proceedings play out.
It's all him, and you know, whether I see it in the media, whether it's pressed by y'all, you know, I try to keep my nose out of it. I don't try to put my eyes on it. You know, the only thing that matters to me is if he's playing every game or if he's not, and how we can overcome that, and what we need to do is to step as a defense if he isn't.
Myles Garrett says what matters to me is if he's on the field, and we still don't know that. With this extra lawsuit being filed, will the NFL delay its investigation? That is a question. As for Baker Mayfield, Garrett also asked about his former starting quarterback, and he reminds us all, something that I tell you all the time, that the Cleveland Browns seem to be in a constant state of flux. Now, constant change generally equals constant losing in sports. Does this set them back? Who knows? But Garrett recognizes it's part of the business.
80% of my team turnover in 6 years. You know, people come and go, and you know, this is one of those changes. Now, I hope the best for him, and I hope he moves on and you know he does well for himself. I'll never wish ill on anyone who I've you know, went up against or played with. But no, he's going to land on his feet. I think Burrow said that as well.
Like a cat?
You know, he's played well when he's healthy, and I think when he's healthy, he can do some pretty good things for a team. You know, he just has to find his niche again. I think he has to prove himself. He has to get healthy, and I think it worked out for both teams.
He's going to land on his feet like a cat. I can't wait. Although right now he is still a Brown and still not at OTAs. Staying in the AFC North, it's a crowded quarterback room in Pittsburgh, and depending upon who you believe, different guys could be starting the season for the Steelers in the wake of Ben Roethlisberger's retirement. Kenny Pickett, he is the young gun. He is the first-round draft pick, and he's trying to learn as much as possible from Mitchell Trubisky, also new on the scene, and Mason Rudolph.
Quarterbacks, man. I mean, there's no better guys in the land than the guys that are here that either have done it or that I'm trying to learn from, and asking Mitch and Mason as many questions as I can. And me and Chris are attached to the hip really all day, so we're kind of going through it together, and it's been fun. It's just little small things here and there. I mean, it's not a formal sit down like, hey man, can you give me all the secrets? Like, it's just I'm going through plays. I'm like, hey, what'd you see here? Why'd you do this? You know, what footwork do you like to use here? All little things like that. We're kind of working together, and everyone's getting better, so it's good competition.
We're all competitive, and everyone
everyone's probably been in those situations where you look around the league and you're the starter. You look back. I mean, I look back at high school, college, and pro. You've been in both boats, so you kind of understand, you know, the adversity there. But I think, you know, if guys got questions, you know, I'm not going to shun anybody.
Do you know how vague every veteran quarterback is going to be about the mentor question now in light of the criticism and the backlash for poor Ryan Tannehill? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Mitchell Trubisky being forced to answer the question again. Did the Steelers tell you they were going to draft another QB?
I knew coming into the situation, just even coming from here from last year, wherever I was going to go, I was going to have to come in, compete, earn the trust of my teammates, and get back onto the field with hard work and my talent and just being a leader on this team. So we didn't have those conversations, but I knew it was a possibility to come in wherever I would go next.
So there will be a new quarterback in Pittsburgh, a new quarterback in Cleveland. We look around the league, a lot of quarterbacks have changed uniforms. That includes Russell Wilson, now with the Denver Broncos, and one of his targets, wideout Tim Patrick, has got the bottom line for the Broncos in 2022.
He's just a big presence, and he carries himself the right way. And if you don't follow his way of the way he does, well, I don't want to say if you don't follow his way, but like if you see Russ doing it and you're not doing it, if you can't put in extra work, you're not serious about winning and you don't belong on this team. It's Super Bowl bust this year.
Ha! Might as well just get it all out there. Let it all hang out. It's Super Bowl or bust, according to receiver Tim Patrick, now that Russell Wilson is setting the tone. And let's be honest, everyone to a man with the Broncos organization is giddy. They can't stop smiling and talking about Russ. So I suppose right now they're still in that honeymoon phase.
Mr. Unlimited.
Meanwhile, his former team, the Seahawks, and his former top target, Tyler Lockett, they've got to move on. Is it Drew Lock? What about Geno Smith? Maybe it's Jacob Eason. Tyler wants you to know they're just fine.
I think he looks good. Y'all seen it out there. I mean, what do you think? Everybody's been doing good out there. Like, we've been making throws. A lot of players have been making plays. I mean, you saw Fuller out there make a great route, great catch. Took it all the way down to the five, if not scored, if we were playing tackle. Everybody's playing phenomenal right now, if I could be honest. And
please be honest.
I mean, if you don't believe me, y'all are the ones that are recording it, and y'all are the ones that are out there on the side seeing it. So, yeah, I think Drew's doing good. I think Geno's doing good. I think Eason is doing good. And, you know, whatever happens is going to happen at the end of the day. But as a whole, we all want to be able to make sure that we're doing our part. And I think everybody's doing that so far.
It's like a nervous twitch that he keeps hitting the podium where the microphone is picking up the pops. I don't know. Seems a little fidgety to me. We'll see. We have no idea who the starting quarterback will be, but the last we knew, Geno Smith had the nose in front in that competition. As I say, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers were not at OTAs on Wednesday. They were in Vegas for the match televised on TNT. It matters how much money they raise for charity. Tom Brady, in all of his glory, he was playing with golf balls featuring the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Hey, ask Josh if he's ever seen one of these. Josh, have you ever seen one of these? Do you know what that is?
I've seen one before.
Seen one? Okay,
I've seen it.
Okay.
Mental intimidation. You got to like that.
What an ass.
Sorry.
If we get that Tom Brady on TV, I'm all in. It'll be just as good as the Monday Night Mannings. It'll be so great. Something tells me we won't, but he was literally eating Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes stuff for lunch. He was just a bully out there. And Aaron Rodgers sinks a birdie putt on number 12 for the win for their team. So if you haven't seen it, there's stuff all over social. Tom Brady, he's a goof when he's out of his football armor, if you will. All right, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us on what is now very quickly morphing into a Thursday morning.
You are
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listening to the After Hours Podcast. Having a bad week? Bad decisions?
Immediately regret this decision.
Bad calls.
You called me, I was illusional.
Bad bounces.
Oh no!
Bad luck. No. It definitely could be worse. Laugh it off with us. And the After Hours Sad Sap of the Week.
Every now and then, we come across an athlete who's doing a bit of whining, and I don't love whining. Now, I get it. There's a time and a place for whining, or there's a time and a place for stating your case. But when it comes to USA soccer, men's soccer, there should be no whining ever, as in ever. This Christian Pulisic comment after Wednesday night's World Cup tune-up kind of rubbed me the wrong way for a few reasons, but I will let you hear it. This is right after the Americans defeat Morocco 3-0 in what is the first of four World Cup tune-ups in the month of June. And he was happy with the win, but...
To be honest, for whatever reason, I'm not super happy with the amount of Americans here, however that works out, if I'm being completely honest. It's thanks to the ones who did come, and the support is always great from them. It's nice to be back in America and playing again.
Huh. He doesn't have the whiny tone to what he has to say, but he slips that in there. I'm not super happy with the lack of fan support, the number of empty seats, the fact that there aren't nearly as many fans here as we would like or expect. Well, here's a thought, Christian. Maybe have all of the top Americans on the field at the same time. When was the last match that you can remember when the best Americans were all together on the field at the same time? Isn't Christian gone with his European club team most of the time anyway? You don't get to just show up in America again and say, hey, where's all the fans? Well, I don't know. Where have you been? I mean, he missed half of the World Cup match or the qualifying matches, if I remember correctly. And then because of the way they're trying to develop younger players, we've seen a revolving door. But a lot of it has to do with these guys playing with their club teams and only wanting to miss so much time away from their club teams. So if your priority is your club team, and I get it, that's how you get paid, over Team USA, then why should fans prioritize Team USA over anything else? And here's another thought. This one really, to me, is the bottom line. Maybe don't miss the World Cup 4 years ago and then have 2 years of matches that don't matter. After you miss the World Cup and you go the next 2 years with nothing but friendlies that don't mean anything, essentially exhibitions with nothing on the line, when fans have to go that long in between matches that matter or matches that count, guess what? You're out of sight. You're out of mind. I don't know that it's fair to criticize fans for not showing up on a Wednesday night in Cincinnati when your team missed the last World Cup, the sport's biggest stage, and essentially became irrelevant for a long stretch of time. How do you expect fans to stay engaged? I understand what he's saying. I get it. It just, to me, set the wrong tone. You're not here all the time. Why should they be here all the time? Or whenever you snap your fingers and you show up in America again.
To be honest, for whatever reason, I'm not super happy with the amount of Americans here.
Wah. I believe that when you start winning, they'll show up again. How about that? Boom. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. No whining allowed. Okay, a little bit of whining. Every now and then, we're allowed to have some self-pity. But after that, then, you know, zip it. Zip it emoji. Also on our Facebook page, and then our phone number, 855-212-4227. So before we hit the top of the hour, got about 4 minutes here. Darnell is listening in Indianapolis. Darnell, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Okay. I just wanted to come on and speak to you about an interesting sport in reference to baseball, and it's called beep baseball.
Beep as in like a car horn or a car that you beep the horn?
Yeah, B-E-E-P.
Beep ball. Baseball. Okay.
And this sport is for the blind and visually impaired men and women. So it's a co-ed sport, and it's been around since 1976. Neat. The first World Series was in 1976. So it's like a one-pound softball with old telephone parts in it. And it was founded in 1964 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And like I said, the first World Series in 1976, and it's America's pastime for the blind and visually impaired.
Mm. How does it work? That's fascinating.
We play our games on soccer fields or in the outfield of baseball diamonds, but primarily on soccer fields in a quiet area, on all grass. There's the batter and the pitcher are on the same team, and the batter and the pitcher does not bat. So there's six batters and six fielders, and everybody that plays the game of beat baseball, the fielders and the batters are blindfolded because there's different variations of blindness, so to make the field equal. And there are two bases, first and third, and they're 10 feet off the line, and there's a cadence the pitcher says to the batter, like, here we go, ready pitch, or set, ready ball. And that gives a cue for the batter to swing, and the batter has to have a consistent bat swing because it's like target practice for the pitcher. So, and the fielders have the other four, with the other team's batting, the other team is playing defense, the opposing team, and there's spotters on the field that are the fielder's eyes.
Oh, wow.
But when the ball comes off the bat, the spotters calls a particular zone that cues the defense where the ball is. The spotter can only call one zone because there's two spotters on each side of the soccer field. Hmm. And when the ball is hit, like I said, the spotter calls a zone, and it's up to the defense to work together as a front line and a back line where the defenses are set up. And it's pretty much simple. The batter runs to either first or third. It's random. It's a random beep base. When the ball is hit, the base operator turns on either first or third, and like I said, it's random. So the goal is, if the batter gets to the beeping base before the fielders track the ball and hold it up, it's a run for his team or the opposing.
Wow. Now,
if the fielder tracks the ball and holds it up before the batter gets to the base, it's an out. So
gotcha.
There's three outs, six innings. There's extra innings. There's a DF or a DH. So, like, there's a designated fielder or designated hitter, or you can play it straight up and just have six batters and six fielders.
Oh, my gosh. Darnell, this sounds really fascinating, but also triumphant. I love that. I love that you're playing baseball and you've the organization's been able to tailor it to people so that they can enjoy the sport, too. So we just have about 30 seconds, 45 seconds or so. How can people find out more if they want to?
They can go to nbba.org. There's regional tournaments all throughout the summer, but the ultimate goal is to play in the Beat Baseball World Series that happens every year at different cities. This year it's going to be in Beaumont, Texas.
Wow.
And each team has to fundraise to try to get to the World Series, so every team is fundraising out there. But like I said, we have regional tournaments all over the country, and so there's a local team in your area. You can find out, like I said, through nbba.org.
Okay. Awesome.
And it's all over the internet. And there's a tournament this weekend here in Indy.
Awesome. Well, Darnell, it's great to talk to you. You'll have to keep us informed about your teams, but Beep Baseball World Series is the goal. NBBA.org to learn more. I hope there's an option there to participate too for people who may want to. You hear the music, but thank you. Good to talk to you, Darnell. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We're glad to hear more about Beep Ball. We got 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.